again. I verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. If you're born again, you may be seated. Otherwise, just come right on up to the altar now. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that Patterson's have been here all week. And he's got some questions he wants to ask you again tonight, Brother Patterson. So you come on up and preach to us. Lord bless you as you do. Got stuff piled all over here.
Well, preacher, this is the day you should have rode your motorcycle,
yeah,
amen. You wouldn't have got so wet. Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of God tonight. I just got to thinking about a mechanic in the family. That is neat, amen. Usually with a mechanic in the family, what happens is there is a vehicle that does not get worked on. Amen. My wife always said, how come you don't fix our vehicle? How come you don't fix our car? I'd have a pastor friend up in Michigan that when I'd get there every year, he had two vehicles. And if one broke down, preacher, he'd wait until I got there to fix it. That car might sit 6 months, you know. And I pulled in, he said he was poor as dirt, you know, and didn't have a whole lot of anything. And the church couldn't do a whole lot for him. So I'd work on his car every year. Then the same church, this is the third pastor now. The one's passed away, the old guy, and another guy left. But the pastor's there now. I got there one time. He's got a son that's a mechanic, but he lives 2.5 hours away from him. So I get up there and he says, do you know anything about air conditioning? I said, no, we can try to charge it, you know. I got it charged up for him. He said, boy, that sure is nice. I said, my knee's charged. I just haven't done it yet, you know. So, praise God. All I did is put a new compressor in mine this year. And that's what finally the problem was, you know. You try to do everything you can to keep from having to buy one of the compressors to put in. And but God is good. And I don't even do that anymore, but I used to do all that stuff myself. I used to do 95%, 98% of my own mechanic work, and now we're going to be in the book of Acts, by the way, chapter 1. And now I might do 3 or 4% or 5% and let the mechanic do the rest now, amen. And I found out for me anymore it's cheaper to pay them to do it rather than me do it than have to take it to them anyway. And not and now, you know, it used to be if it didn't work out, I'd straighten it back out. Sort of like Tracy, when you're putting something together, and you might say, well, who would have thunk that? You know, and then you got to tear it apart and do it again, you know. So I do that with mechanics, amen. I've done that for a lot of years like that. Boy, God's good, though. It's good to be in the house of God, amen. Good to be here again with you tonight. And in Acts in chapter 1 with me, I'm going to ask if you would stand, if you're able to, just for a moment. Now, we're only going to read one verse. Tonight, one verse. I'm going to use this as a jump-off verse again. About 80% or 85% of my messages are just topical messages, and I leave the expository preaching up to the pastors. Amen. They do better than I can do on that stuff, and let them straighten out what I mess up after I'm gone. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says this: "For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Father, thank you for your word, and I pray you'd use it again tonight to challenge us, Father, speak to our hearts, and God, help us to glean tonight something that will help each one of us, and it'll bring honor and glory to you. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I want to look at one thought in this verse. Typically, Pastor, when you look at this verse, you might preach on witnesses. You might preach on your Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. But I want to look at a word in this verse where he makes a statement here in verse 8. Again, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Can I make this statement to you as I begin tonight? There's 260 verses, Pastor, approximately in the Bible that contain the word power. That's a lot of verses, amen. And we'll barely even scratch the surface tonight. I think probably we could do a 6-month series or longer, maybe a year, on this thought of power in the Scripture and what power is in the Scripture. Many Christians say, and I understand when they say it, but many Christians say they want God's power in their life. Do we not? Amen. That many Christians say they want it. Many Christians have a desire for God's power in their life, and many Christians seek for God's power in their life. But if the truth were known, if the truth were really known, many Christians live without the power of God in their life. And that's a true statement. It's a sad statement, amen. I can go back in my own life, and I'm not saying I'm the most powerful Christian pastor around. I know I'm not, but I can go back in my own life and tell you, and see times as a born-again believer when I had no power of God in my life or in my ministry. I can see times back as I look back, and there's a reason for that, and I'll show you. I hope many pastors live without the power of God in their life and in their ministry. I've met some preachers, pastors, they're good preachers, they're good people, but they do not have the power of God. They got the power of their own wisdom, the power of their own ability, but they lack God's power in their preaching. You might be the loudest preacher in the world, the most excitable preacher in the world, but you don't have God's power. I've seen it. You've seen it, amen. I've seen it. Many missionaries, and it's sad to say, you support a number of missionaries. Praise the Lord. I think in our home church we have about 40 somewhere around there, missionaries we support, and we thank God for that. Amen. But many missionaries live without God's power in their life and their ministry. You can be on the mission field for 25, 30 years and not have the power of God. You want to see the power of God, go back and look at some of the first missionaries that went across the sea. And they just went and trusted God, amen. And God was in them and in their ministry. And they spent time in prayer. I think of Praying Hyde, Pastor, you know, and how he prayed and prayed and prayed. And prayed to the point where he asked God for one soul a day, and he gave it to him. And then he said, I want two souls a day, and he gave it to him. And I can't remember how far he got up to. And he only lived until he was, 40-some years old. And he died, they said, he just wore himself out completely. But man, what a prayer warrior that man was, they say. Many lack God's power in their preaching. Many missionaries live without God's power in their ministry, and many evangelists live. Many, I've heard some evangelists that you can tell they're only in their own power. It has nothing to do with God at all. I tell you what, my friend, we better make sure we're on God's side of this, amen. Someone once wrote this. He said, why is our walk with God sometimes a crawl with God? Why is it a crawl with God? Why the lack of passion for our Savior who gave His all for us? Why the lack of victory over sin in the average Christian's life? Why the lack of power to shake this world for Christ? And then he wrote this, the words of Billy Sunday ring true, he says. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. He that is a stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. God's power is not based on your strength. God's power is not based on your abilities. God's power is not based on your intellect, although some believe that, some think that today. God's power, and some think this, Pastor, but God's power is not based on standards. God's power is not based on standards. Although I believe in standards, amen, for the born-again believer, there ought to be standards, but His power is not based on those standards. God's power is not based on your preference. There might be some things, Pastor, you prefer a different, might not be a biblical standard, but a preference you have. And God's power is not based on our preferences, amen. And God's power is not based on, it's not based on your conviction. Just because you have conviction about something does not mean that you have power. I had conviction before I was saved. Spent 4 years in prison because of conviction, amen. Not my conviction. Power, as we're going to look at tonight, power comes from and belongs to God. Point number one, power comes from and belongs to God. One more time. Power comes from and belongs to God. If you went to Psalm in chapter 62 with me just for a moment, we're not going to read the whole psalm. We're just going to look at one verse in the psalm. The psalm in chapter 62 with me. And Psalm chapter 62, and it's a tremendous psalm, amen. A lot that he has to do about the rock of my salvation, and my soul wait upon him only, and he is only is my rock and my salvation, and he's my defense, and I shall not be moved, and the rock of my strength, he says, and verse 7, and trust in him at all times. God is our refuge for us. And verse 8, and you come down to verse 11, he says, and God has spoken, David says, and you know what? Here David's dealing with the fact that they've run him out of Jerusalem, preacher. And he's dealing with that idea. And he says here, and here's what he comes back. Comes back to the realization that it's God's power that will bring him through. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Why does power belong to God? Because it comes from God, and it belongs to God and to God alone. You can do nothing without the power of God in your life. You can do nothing. You can do all kinds of stuff in your own flesh, amen. But it's going to amount to nothing without God's power in your life and coming through God himself. Psalm chapter 66 and verse 7 makes this statement. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Listen. He ruleth by his power forever. It's by his power. It belongs to him and to him alone for you as a child. That's why he says, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? Because the power comes from God. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come by you, but it comes by God and by God alone. And we need to have that relationship with him where we will manifest that in our lives, amen, as the children of God. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, he said, let every soul be subject, now listen, unto the higher powers. I don't know about you, but that verse bugs me sometimes, amen. It says, let them be subject, that's those who are in authority over you, not just the government, you know, not just your state government, not just your city government, but it's also your church government. Your pastoral authority lines up underneath this heading and this thought. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Listen, my friend, there's nobody in office today that God has not allowed to go into office today. Amen. And that included our last president, Obama. He was only in office because of the Lord allowed it to happen. You say, well, people did not vote the way they should. I want to tell you what, we had a lot of people out voting against him, and he got in anyway, and I don't know if it was a good vote or a bad vote, but it's going to get because that's what God ordained to happen, amen. You say, explain that, Brother Mike. I can't. I could, but I just believe what the Bible says. We have to believe what the book says, amen. And we have to believe what the book says about the power of God in our lives and for our lives. Jesus answered them in John chapter 19 and verse 11 before his death. You know, he makes a statement. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me. You could not have any power against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me into thee hath the greater sin. And some would say that was probably Judas, but you know, it was Pilate who was delivering him at this time, you know, and giving him to the people and turning him over. So maybe, I don't know which one it was. It really doesn't matter, because no matter who it was, preacher, they could not do it without God's authority allowing that to happen. And I want to tell you, you can do nothing in your Christian life that comes out right without the authority of God behind it for you as a child of God. We need to have God's power in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Number two, if you're taking notes, now here's a long point, all right? You ready to hear it? Here's the point. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Let me make that statement one more time. Everything that you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Now, you say, why did you say that three times? Because I know when somebody says something one time, I get about half of it and then I make up the rest of it myself because I don't know what he said. I can't remember it, amen. So everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Deuteronomy in your Bibles, please, and the eighth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to look at about 10 verses here, where he begins in verse 10 of this text of Deuteronomy chapter 8, reminding Israel. He says that when thou hast eaten, in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. By the way, that's a good reminder for us, amen. Let's be obedient to God as the children of God. He's commanded us a lot of things in scriptures and taught us how to live and taught us what we can do, what is right as a child of God. Let's be obedient to the things of God. Verse 12, he says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good and at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Boy, don't forget, it's from God. Everything you get comes from God. Listen, can I tell you what? The Bible says it rains on the wicked as well as the righteous. Amen. Why? Because it all comes from God. Even before you were saved, there were some things that you reap, as an unsaved person, just because God is in control of this world, amen. Just because God is who God is, there's things that you reap. The world reaps things because of who God is and because of his power, not because of theirs, not because of what they think. Look, we said in verse 18, but thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. It comes from God, not from you, to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Can I tell you what? By God's power, you have what you have.
Yeah.
And by God's power, you can lose everything you have.
Yeah.
You can lose everything. Stay obedient to God. You say, well, Brother Mike, there's been times I've been obedient to God and I haven't had two nickels to rub together. Praise God for the two nickels or the half a nickel you have. It doesn't matter. If you got two pennies, praise the Lord for that. If you got one penny, don't hang on to it so tight that you stretch it and make copper wire out. That might be a good thing because you can sell the copper wire then, amen, for more than a penny is worth. Hallelujah. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Don't forget his power. He gives you the power and he gives you what you need to meet your needs and take care of you, and he can take it away to say, way. And you say, but I live right, Brother Mike. And there's been times it just seems like I just couldn't hardly make it. God is still blessing you and still taking care of you. Open your eyes up and thank God that you can even take another breath. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give God the thanks and the glory and the honor. Jeannie got up a while ago to go back and get a bottle of water offering. When she got up and she walked back, I just caught her out of the corner of my eye. I looked at my wife and said, look at that. I said, Jeannie was raptured. She's gone, you know. Well, then the Lord says, no, I don't want her yet. And he brought her back, you know. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. It's everything. Physically, financially, it doesn't matter. It all comes by God and from God. All comes from God. God's power will lead you, number three. Everything you get again, number two. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God, number three. God's power will lead you in the right direction. God's power will lead you in the right direction. You know, I enjoy the Bible readings, Pastor. I enjoy that psalm this evening, amen. What a tremendous psalm that is. But I like to read short psalms sometimes. I think the next psalm after that is only two verses, amen. And so, yeah. But I enjoy reading the Word of God and enjoy reading the psalm. You know, you want to learn how to walk, and I tell Christians this all the time in their Christian life. I know when people get saved, somebody said, well, read the book of John and read the book of Romans. And I tell them, read the book of John, read the book. I said, but before you read either one of those, let me give you a hint. Read the book of Galatians. And read the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Colossians. Read the book of Philippians. Those four books there will tell you how you ought to live your Christian life. Amen. And read John. Read it along with it, but read John. Read Romans. But man, so many people will skip Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians when there's so much there to help the born-again believer. He's dealing with these churches, the church in Ephesus, the churches in Galatia, the churches in Philippi, amen, and the churches in Colossae. He's helping these churches around that time period, around that area. And boy, he gives them some meat. Paul gives them some meat to help them. To help the children of God. God's power will lead you in the right direction. You remember 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 3, where it makes this statement, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He says, God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. And see, if God's your strength and God's your power, He's going to make your way perfect. He's not going to, listen, there are going to be some, the devil, can I tell you this? The devil's going to do everything he can to throw bumps in the road for you.
Amen.
I just read somewhere we were just at, right down here at the corner, Pastor. I read a sign coming down here and they said about a speed bump's going to be at such and such a crossroads. You see that sign down here when you come in the other night? Where's that going to be? Where's that? I couldn't even find the two roads they were talking about. But it said speed bump at such and such a, you know, right down here on this main street. When you pulled in the other day, I saw that sign. I think, well, I didn't see those speed bumps. I sure didn't see those two roads they were talking about. I wonder if some idiot was just messing with somebody, put them signs over there, you know. I hate speed bumps, amen. I try to go over as fast as I can. And that's not good, amen. Especially if you have a truck and a trailer behind you. And it's not good for a motorcycle either, preacher, amen. I'm just telling you, amen. Especially when it's raining that hard, amen, the other day. Everything you get comes to you by the hand of God because of the power of God. Then He will lead you in the right direction by His power. God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. Listen, He's not the one to put the bump in the road for you. Amen. You say, oh, wait, no, wait, wait, wait. No, the Bible says when you're tempted, don't say that you're tempted of God. Amen. God has a path for you to take. You see, but not all things. God allows all things. He allows many things. Listen, God's not the one who gave Job boils. God's not the one who took Job's family. The Bible says there's a prince in the power of the air. That's called the devil. That's not Jesus, by the way. That's the devil, amen. He can do everything he can to destroy it. God allows it to happen, but God's not the one who designed that for you that way. That's not what he wants. That's not his desire for you. He wants you to stay on the straight and narrow. And when you come to that bump in the road, listen, my friend, you can go over that with smooth sailing. You know, you can go over that 80 miles an hour and not recognize that bump because God's in control, amen. He's the God of power in your life and my life. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, and I think Paul understood that. When Paul prayed, I said, I pray thrice that this would be removed from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, then Paul says, well, most gladly then, he says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That was a bump in the road for Paul. That infirmities in his body. Can you imagine going through some of the things that Paul went through? Stoned and left for dead. Stick your hand in some sticks to put on a fire and a viper comes out and bites you, and you should have swelled up and died. He should not have lived from that viper's bite, but God, he didn't know swelling or nothing. I mean, boy, what a God we have. And so the bumps were in the road. I don't think the devil liked Paul, pastor. I think the devil hated Paul. And every time Paul would turn around, the devil was trying to do something to discourage him. He was shipwrecked before he got bit by the viper. Shipwrecked. I forget how many times you said you've been shipwrecked, and how many times, you know, every way he turned, there was trouble and difficulty, up and down, sideways, everything. The devil kept on putting roadblocks, and the devil kept on putting bumps in the road in front of Paul, but he continued to go forward for Jesus Christ because he realized, I think he understood that. When the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, I think Paul had an understanding there. He said, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in my infirmities, he said, or in infirmities. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't care for infirmities, amen. But Paul said, I took pleasure in them. You know why? Because he understood God's power. And then he would say, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So he knew that there were some difficult things, some hardships. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because of God's power. Not Paul's power, but he recognized God's power in his life, and that God was in control. Number four, write this down. Number four, he will give you the power to speak for him. Now, some people don't have a problem speaking up for the things of the Lord, amen? You know, some of the people, the hardest people, and if you're not sure about this, don't answer, but who knows some of the hardest people to witness to? Some of the hardest people to witness to. What'd you say? Family.
Yeah.
Family. Family is some of the hardest people to witness. You know why? Because they know you. Amen. They know us. Amen. And it is sometimes hard to witness to the family. But he will give you the power to speak for him. He'll give you the power to share with him. And not just family, but he'll give you the power. A preacher, when somebody jumps in your face on the street, to still take two steps toward them. I don't know, brother. You know, well, I never thought you was quite in the right mind, but I don't know if I would take two steps toward him and still say I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know. Preach this. Poof, you might hit me, you know. We just need to give the gospel. And he gives you the boldness to do that, the power to be able to do that. He'll give you the power to speak for him. You remember the story in the book of Numbers in chapter 22, where Balaam is said to Balak. Balak wants him to curse Israel. And after about the third time, he makes the final statement. He says, Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am coming to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? Have I any power? The word that God put in my mouth, that shall I speak. He said, I don't have the power to say anything. Pastor, we ain't got the power to witness on our own. If you go out there by yourself and you think you're going to whoop the world by standing out on a street corner, you might as well You might as well, you know, you just might as well hang a placard up on your door and say closed, because it's not your power. You know, it's not your ability. He will, God will use your abilities, absolutely, but not because of you, but because of Him. Because of Him, amen, He will use you. You remember in 1 Kings, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, comes to Ahab, and they're talking. I think Ahab probably sent for him, as we've studied this out. It doesn't say specifically there. But Ahab says, you know, the Syrians have really been irritating us again. He says, so would you go to battle with me against Syrians? And Jehoshaphat says, well, my people are thine people, and our cities are like each. Yes, we're kindred. Yes, I'll go to battle with you. And then Jehoshaphat then makes a statement. He says, now is there any prophets that could give us the indication about what's going to happen? And so Ahab calls 400 prophets, you know. And so they get the 400 prophets together, and they all say, yes, go out, do battle. You push them out of the way. In fact, one goes to the altar, and he makes the brazen altar, he makes a set of horns, and he comes down there, and he goes like this. He will push them out of your way. And real brazen this guy is about his statement. After it was all done, I always wondered about this. Even after it was all done, Jehoshaphat said, is there not another? Now, Jehoshaphat might have known about Micaiah. I don't know. It doesn't say he did, but I'd be hard-pressed to think he didn't, amen. It'd be like being in Israel or Judah and not knowing who Elijah was, or who Elisha was, amen, or who Zechariah was, or any of the prophets. And so I got a feeling maybe he knew who Micaiah was. And so he says to, is there not another? And Ahab says, well, yeah, there's, but he has nothing good to say to me. He doesn't like me. In fact, he hates me. He never prophesies anything good to me or about me. And so he said, well, cannot we inquire of him anyway? I'm just giving you a synopsis of this. So he goes out to, they send him out, and they bring Micaiah to him. And so he said, well, this is what the prophets say, and what do you say? Oh yeah, go ahead, go on out. Have a great time. You're going to win the battle, you know. And he says, see, I told you he doesn't prophesy. Now, Micaiah, didn't I tell you that when you speak to me, you tell me the truth? Tell me the truth. So Micaiah says, well, you're going to go to battle, but you're going to die. That's what's going to happen. Don't go. You go, you're going to die. I told you, Jehoshaphat, I told you he never had anything good to say to me, and I told you he always prophesied against me. And they decided to go to battle anyway. I like what Micaiah said, 1 Kings 22:14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. You know what Micaiah was saying? He gives me the power to say what he wants me to say. He wasn't speaking his own mind. The other prophets are speaking by their own power. By their own power. Had nothing to do with God. But not Micaiah. Oh man, I tell you, my friend, listen. He will give you the ability and the power to speak for him. He will give you the ability and the power to speak for him. Number four or number five, I'm not sure where I'm at. Wherever I'm at, write this one down. He will break the pride of your power. He will break the pride of your power. Look at Leviticus with me. That's back in the beginning of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. No, Leviticus. Go back to Leviticus with me. And look at Leviticus in chapter 26. Leviticus in chapter 26. Or the book of Leviticus in chapter 26. And let's look down, if you would, just at this verse 19 of the seating for a few moments. And we understand, if you study the Word of God, I understand, Pastor, that he's dealing with Israel. I understand he's dealing with Levitical priesthood. I understand he's dealing with the laws. I understand what God's dealing with. But we can make application to us. Amen? So he makes a statement in verse 19 in this text. In verse 18 says, "And if he will not yet for all this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins." Woo, boy. Seven times more for your sins. In verse 19, "And I shall break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your hand, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if he walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins." We'll just stop right there, because he goes on talking about the wild beasts and what's going to happen. What he's saying to them is, listen, if you're not going to be obedient to me, and you're saying this is what you're going to do, I will break the pride of your power. I'll stop it. Isaiah 25:11 says, "And he shall spread forth his hands," speaking about the Lord, "he shall spread forth his hands," Isaiah 25:11, "he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands." He will. It's just like this. He's swimming. He's just shoving them out of the way. That guy had the bullhorn, so he's going to move. No, God's doing this one. Amen. God's just going to push him aside. But he said, "I've got the power, and you can't do nothing without me." Boy, I think we need to recognize that no matter what we do. It's all of God. Amen. All of God. Pastor, regardless of his preaching, regardless of his electrical, amen. You might be an electrical engineer now, so you can teach pastors something, you don't know. In regards to the mechanics, regardless if it's evangelism or the mission field or witnessing to your neighbor, it's all of God. A young missionary by the name of Herbert Jackson, I'm not sure where he went, what mission field he went to, Pastor, but he went to the mission field and he was given a car to help him in the work where he was at. It was a major asset. Boy, what a blessing that car was to him. But it had one difficulty. It would not start without a push or a jump start. So it would start. And so it had to be a stick shift, amen. Well, you used to be able to push an automatic 30 miles an hour to get it started. You remember them days? We did that, man. Pushing on, you can get them started. You could also blow up your muffler if you weren't careful, amen. We used to set them off. It goes from 60 to about 15 miles an hour, build up all that back pressure, turn that key back on, there goes the muffler. Boom! You know. But boy, it sure sounded nice going down the road after that, you know. It could be an old beat-up six-cylinder, sound like a 454 Chevy, amen. He had this car, he said, it would not start without a push or a jump start. Jackson devised a system to cope with the car's inability to start. When he was ready to leave his home, he went to a nearby school up the street and asked permission to bring some of the children out of the class to help him push start his car. And I tell you about push starting a car. My wife cannot pop a clutch to start a vehicle. I had a big 454, like this truck out here, big dually, big full dual cab, 454 with a stick shift. Starter went out one day on it, and I'm on a little incline going backwards, but it's not far enough for me to get back to be able to pop the clutch. And so we work it back a little bit, and then it stops on the hill, and I can't push it. My boy's only about, how old was Kill? Maybe 6 or 7 years old, maybe. And he's out there behind that truck with his mom and this great big old guy sitting up in that truck. And the guy walks out of the store and is looking at me in that truck, just sort of shaking his head, I think, and walked over and he says, "Let me help you." She says, "I cannot pop a clutch for my husband would be back here." She bailed me out, I think. Hallelujah. So, and we got it started. Amen. She cannot pop a clutch to start a vehicle. I don't care what it is. It just does not happen. But he was started up that way. And the kids would push his car throughout the day. He was always careful to always park on a hill or to leave his engine running while he stopped. for short visits. You don't want to leave them running in Geneva or anywhere else. If you're stopping for a short visit, you might not. You don't want to leave them running in your driveway very long. You might not have it when you come out to go to work. For 2 years, this young missionary used what he believed was an ingenious method to enable him to use his car. After 2 years, poor health took its toll on him, just poor health, and he had to leave the mission field with his family. A new missionary arrived to lead the mission where he was at, and when Jackson explained to the new missionary his methods for starting the car, the young man opened the hood and began inspecting. "Well, Dr. Jackson," he said, "I believe the only trouble was this loose cable." He gave the cable a twist, pushed the switch, and the engine roared to life. For 2 years, two stinking years, Dr. Jackson used his own devices and endured needless trouble when the power to start the car was there all the time and only needed to be connected. That was it. And that's our problem a lot of times. We have the power to do what God would have us to do, but we're not connected the right way. Amen. Remember what Billy Sunday said again? If there's no prayer, there's no what? Power. And that's where it's going to begin. Amen. I believe this church is a praying church. Amen. I do. I believe this church is a praying church. And I thank God for that. But I just want you to understand something. You can't do anything that you do is by the hand of God and not by your own hand. And if it's by your own hand, then it lacks the power of God. I don't care how good it turns out. I don't care how pretty it turns out. I got a friend in Ohio that built a campground, bought a campground years ago, old piece of junk for about $250,000, and he's had about 150 camper slots in there. And he took and built that thing up, and he built a beautiful clubhouse, built a beautiful house to live in, and built a beautiful swimming pool area, built a wonderful changing rooms where there's a bunch of individual changing rooms where everybody's in the same room with bathrooms. I mean, it's really a really nice thing. And he built his own septic system, his own leach bed septic system, Pastor, where the sewage comes down and it runs through these filters. And just like it looks just like your city system, only it's smaller for that campground. He built another house. He has a man that lives there in that house, and he has a huge barn. You would drool over the tools he has in that barn for woodworking and stuff. The guy's a master carpenter, tremendous. And the place is probably worth somewhere around $2 million today. But yet he's not going to church. And he's done all this himself. Done all this himself. And I want you to know something. He can lose it just as quick as he gained it. Amen. Because it's been in his own power. Been in his own power. God can take it just as quick as he gives it. And I make this statement to you. Make sure that you're in where you need to be with God. Just make sure you're where you need to be with God. Let him have the glory and the honor for what he's done in your life and what he's going to do in your life, regardless of what it is. Amen? Regardless. Just put your trust in the Lord. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. And I know tonight I've asked every night I've asked this question. I'm going to ask it one more time. Are you sure you're saved? Amen. If you're not, can I pray for you? Anybody right now, just slip your hand up and say, I'm just not sure. I don't see any hands. I hope you are. I believe you are. I believe these folks in here tonight know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I would not feel right if I did not ask that question. The second question this evening is this. Did the Lord speak to your heart? Did he speak to your heart? Did he? If he spoke to your heart, let's do this. Why don't you get out of your seat right now and come to the altar? And if you can't kneel down, then come down here and sit down up front somewhere. You just come. You come. Come on. God bless you, amen. God bless you, amen. How about it? You come. Father, I thank you. with these who have slipped out and come, Lord. We know, Father, we can even only be here tonight because of your power. Oh, we could have made the effort. We could have come in, Father, but this is your design. This church is your design, Lord. May we never remove you from the equation, God. God, we want you to have the honor and the glory. And I pray, Father, whatever or however or wherever you spoke to the heart tonight, in whatever manner, Lord, help that individual this evening to give you all the honor and the glory, to magnify you upon high. And Lord, we thank you now. We thank you for what you've done this week. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your love, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
In our hymnal 470.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou